Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Well, good afternoon. It's kind of, I think Sue said when she walked in, sort of a nice-ish day. Every once in a while, we've had some periods of okayness, and then there was a little shower at my home this morning, I know, and the Cardinals had a little bit of a delay. By the way, speaking of the Cardinals, Kevin Wheeler's going to come down here in just a couple of minutes because Albert Pujols was released from the Anaheim Angels, and there's all kinds.
Wow.
Fans are clamoring for the return of Albert, and that's not very realistic, and I love Albert Pujols, nor should it really happen, but we'll talk with Kevin here in just a couple of minutes. How's everyone this afternoon?
Great.
Good.
I'm confused about this, and we were talking about it. I jumped on with Mike at the end of the hour. Annie was off today about all this vaccine stuff again. But let me start with what I think is great news, and I want to try to emphasize the positive when I can. The U.S. positivity rate has dropped to 3.8%. That is the lowest positivity rate of the entire pandemic. We've never had positivity rate that low. So that's pretty good. We've been fluctuating between 3.9 and 4% for, I guess, a while. We had 3.9% briefly back in March, and we made it down to 4.0% last June. But we never got to 3.8% until today. Now, it's important to put some of this into perspective because the cases are much higher than they were last summer. The testing was much more limited. So you can argue that we've never been in a position with COVID as we are today. So that should be really, really good news. And you're still having some strange things that are happening around the world. Scientists watching the vaccination rates and the case curve in Israel. One of the things that I guess there's a theory that rapid declines in transmission may start happening once something like 45 to 50% of the population had their first dose. So what percentage of Americans have had their first dose as of today? Anyone know the answer to that question?
I'm going to say, isn't it like 40?
That's close.
45?
It's 43%.
Okay.
43%. So actually 44.7%. You said 45. I'm going to round up, Andrew, and I'm going to give you that
nice
one. I'm going to award you that now. That's good. We don't want to call you out if that's not accurate. But yeah, that's a great number. So we'll see what happens in the next few weeks. I said in the last hour, I think it's go time. I made this case yesterday that we're not in the bottom of the sixth, like Dr. Fauci said. We're in at least the top of the ninth. I'd put us probably in the bottom of the ninth. And I mentioned San Francisco, I think, yesterday. This is interesting. They have 870,000 people, and there was an average of only 26 new COVID cases per day. Two-thirds of all adults in San Francisco and almost 60% of the greater metro area, 4.7 million, have been vaccinated with one dose. 60%. So we're at 45% here, you know, across the country. In San Francisco, they're at 60% with one dose. That's one of the highest rates. And just in case you're wondering, the effect on the positivity rate, their positivity rate sits at 1.2%. So I think San Francisco, and a lot of people have had COVID there, that is an example of where I think things are going really, really well, and hopefully other cities are going to follow very soon. Then you have the Tucker Carlson story from last night. Now, I did not see this. We don't have the audio this afternoon. I've seen a bunch of this online, and I guess maybe because I was busy with some other things today, I didn't completely pay attention. And I like Tucker now and again. I also think he's off base. Look, you can disagree and agree. But he did this segment last night, which says that there have been three thousand people that have died.
3,376
from the vaccine, right? Just from the vaccine. Now I'm open-minded usually on everything. I really am. If you can prove to me, this was kind of like the election last fall. If you could prove to me that the election was stolen, well, then I might say the election was stolen. Problem is, you couldn't prove it because there was no proof. Same thing with this. If you can prove to me, and I guess people are going to be conspiracy theorists, right? So, well, the government doesn't want you to know that. Here's the case I would make, okay? Let's just put it this way. They pulled the J&J vaccine off the market because somebody might get sick when you can more likely get a blood clot from having COVID itself. We panicked. We're going to pull that off. We're going to do this. You don't think if people were dying from Moderna or Pfizer or something like that, they would pull that damn thing off the market right away? For one reason, Pfizer and Moderna would get sued out of their asses, right?
Well,
so it makes what he said makes no sense. Now, it does make sense when you think about the source, because my understanding is the source is Alex Jones. Is that the case? Just for people who don't know, in case you're not up to speed, Alex Jones is certifiably insane. Crazy person. He just is. Sorry if you're an Alex Jones fan. So there's nothing to this whatsoever. So how can you keep repeating things? And here's the danger in this. Tucker Carlson could go on the air tonight and he could correct this and say, look, I was mistaken because this number is not accurate. And let me put this into perspective. You do have a situation where maybe there are people that are dying after they get the vaccine, but is there a correlation between the vaccine and people dying? Well, we don't know that, right, at this point. But I would say also that if he would go on and he would maybe somehow correct himself, it wouldn't matter because now you got people that are going to repeat this to friends over and, oh, I'm not getting the vaccine because people are dying from it. Mm-hmm. So, again, I made this point in the last hour. You can choose not to get the vaccine. I have chosen to get the vaccine, and I'm ready to go on with my life. I'm going to live my life, and that's the choice that I made. You will not be able to do some of the things that you want to do because companies, airlines, businesses are going to prevent you from coming in their business. That's different from the government, very different from the government. So you have to separate those two things, and you have to be willing to accept the consequences moving forward. You don't have to take the vaccine if you don't want to. I'm fine with that. But there are going to be things that you're going to be limited in doing. And I think people have to recognize that. All right, 314. Kevin's in this afternoon. Albert Pujols has been cut by Anaheim, and there's a lot of buzzing that's going on out there relating to the Cardinals, and we're going to set all this up. Wheeler, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good. Got a lot of baseball stuff going on, which is good.
So. You know what's funny is I don't think I'm misattributing this quote, but I think I just heard Ricky on the broadcast yesterday talk about how, and you correct me if I'm getting this wrong, that Albert, up until today, I guess, was the oldest player in the league. Is that true?
I think so, yeah. Like, I think Waino's the oldest in the National League, and I believe Albert is the oldest player in baseball. Yeah, he's in his 40s.
So he's coming back.
So the news today is that the Angels are going to release him. So they've designated him for assignment. He'll have to go through waivers. Nobody's going to claim him on waivers because of the contract. So once he clears waivers, he would be free to sign with any team that wants him for the major league minimum. So he's still going to get paid from the Angels. They're basically paying him to leave. And then anybody else that would want to could bring him in at that point. And, of course, he'll have a say in all of that, too, because it's his career and got to figure out what his priorities are. But, yeah, you could say, Mark, that a lot of the Twitterverse is really wants to talk about Albert coming back to the Cardinals.
Well, that's nonsense, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, look, I get it, right? Like, I understand the emotion and the nostalgia. This is one of the greatest players in modern baseball history.
Oh, no
I mean,
doubt.
Even with the struggles these last few years, he's coming up on 700 home runs. You know, I mean, he's legitimately, if you ask people, you know, they'll say he's one of the five best right-handed hitters of all time.
Absolutely.
And he had a 10-year run here that is basically unparalleled. Like, you have to go back to, like, Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig to have anybody that had a 10-year run. I mean, basically, his 10-year run here has been better than the first 10 years of Mike Trout's career, and Mike Trout is obviously the best player in the game.
Well, that puts it into perspective right there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I totally get it. Totally get it. I mean, I watched him. I've never covered a player that is greater than Albert Pujols. I mean, like, every day he was the same guy. He never slumped. He played great defense. He was a smart base runner. You know, he worked his butt off. I'm like, I can see why fans would want to see him play again in the Cardinals uniform, but it's not really a practical fit for the roster as it stands right now. That's the hard part.
Can I just be mean for just one second?
Sure.
Don't keep me. I think that you'll understand this. And I love Albert. I mean, the memories that I have from Albert Pujols from that time here in St. Louis are amazing. I'll always remember him. But we already have someone who can't hit on the team. That's Matt Carpenter. Why would we add another?
It's interesting that you mentioned that because I tweeted this earlier, too, that if you look at just these last three seasons, so this first month of 2021 plus last year and 2019, their offensive numbers are identical.
Really?
Identical. So if batting average is a little different on base percentage. Yeah. They're a little different. But if you look at the catch-alls, like something like OPS Plus, which neutralizes compared to league average, right? Over this time, 2019 until now, Albert is 14% below major league average as an offensive player, and Carpenter is 13% below league average as a player. So in terms of like just a total look at production, they've been basically the same hitter for these last few years. Now, I've had arguments with fans that are like, well, then we'd rather have the guy that used to be great because then we could have the memories rather than the guy here. But then, again, look at the practicality. Albert plays one position. On a National League team, he can play first base, and that's it.
Right.
He can DH, but there's no DH in the National League. He could pinch hit, but, and we'll get to this later, I guess, because we got to see what matters to him, too. Right. He's 33. Right. He's 33 home runs away from 700. He's not getting anywhere near that as a pinch hitter, as a bench player. He's not going to come, not this year, not next year. I mean, it would take him 5-6 years as a bench player to have a chance at that.
Right.
So if that matters to him, this isn't a fit because Goldie's not going anywhere, right? Goldie's playing every day. He's going to play 155 games. I mean, and who knows, maybe even more than that, but he plays every single day. And then when you look at it from a bench perspective, one thing that you really need on this bench is a left-handed bat, right? I mean, you have Williams and Carpenter. So if you take away a left-handed bat, now you only have one, and you're losing your bench balance. Yeah. But then you're also, let's say these two guys are the same hitter. Let's say Albert and Carpenter are the same hitter right now. One guy plays one position, the other guy plays three positions. So when you're looking at the bench, a lot of what you want is versatility. And I've had other people say, well, just keep them both and, you know, ship out Lane Thomas. I'm like, okay, so again, let's take away somebody who can run, who can be a defensive replacement in the outfield, who's a right-handed bat that is going to, you know, that is, again, 26 years old, not 42 years old or whatever Albert is right now. So, you know, again, emotionally, I totally get it. Rationally, from a competitive standpoint, I don't. I don't think it's a fit.
He's 41 right now.
Yeah.
But, so you've been arguing with people on Twitter?
Not too much. I mean, yes, but not like if the Cardinals brought Albert back, it's not like any of us would be like, that's a terrible move. Like,
no,
I'm not
going
to rip the move. I'm just saying it's interesting to me because public enemy number one for Cardinals Twitter is Matt Carpenter. And you want to bring in another Matt Carpenter because he was good 10 years
ago.
That's
why I made the crack.
It's just odd because
it is odd.
And again, I understand it. And even it's funny. I even looked this up because I'm such a dork. Like the batted ball numbers, like hard hit rate and all that, exit velocity, those two are the same in that too. Like they're really similar hitters at this point.
But let me go back to the 700 home runs, because even if he was an everyday player, looking at the math, he'd probably need at least two seasons.
He'd have to play next year. He'd have to have at least a decent finish this year.
And
so let's just say this. Let's say he hits 10, 12 more home runs this year. Okay. And he probably needs to be almost an everyday player to do that. I'm not, and not, you know, because he's not going to be anybody's everyday player. Let's be honest. No matter where he goes, he's not going to play 7 days a week. He's going to play a few days a week based on matchups. But let's say he could hit 12 home runs this year. Okay. Well, you know, now you need 21 home runs next year, which is possible in a full season.
Sure.
So again, you're right. That's not an automatic. Even if he plays every day, it's not an automatic that he would get there by the end of next season. But again, there's a decent chance. And what actually makes more sense, Mark, is a reuniting of Albert Pujols with Tony La Russa in Chicago. Because
the White Sox have lost.
So the White Sox, in the first month of the year, lost their starting left fielder. Eloy Jimenez went out with a pectoral injury. He's done for the year. They just lost their center fielder, Luis Robert, who's out for the year with a torn hip flexor. So those two guys are out for the year. And you know they do have DH options, but they also have more at-bats available because some of the guys that are first-base DH, they have a prospect who's a first baseman, but he's playing left field right now. That's a place where he might actually get to have some at-bats, where he might get to play 3 to 5 games a week, yeah, depending on how he's going.
That would make a lot more sense.
I mean, the American League makes more sense, Mark.
Right.
I mean, it's that simple. Like he's had a lot of leg injuries, and that's really what's done him in. It's not like he all of a sudden started to stink. He's had physical problems.
Sure. Well,
so,
right. Look, taking nothing away from Albert, and, you know, I think not that there was any question. I think I saw Tom Ackerman talk about this, but he, you know, no doubt that he will go into the Hall of Fame with a Cardinals jersey
and
on.
And I will say this. Like, it, let's just say in a fantasy world, he comes back to the Cardinals. I would love that first at-bat back at Busch Stadium. That would be such an awesome moment. I mean, like, I think all of us would love that.
Well, it was awesome a couple seasons ago.
I mean, yeah, yeah,
but that would be a lot different for sure. All right, yeah. Kevin Wheeler, thanks for dropping in. Just quickly, though, 60 seconds. The Blues lost last night. Binnington had a great game, didn't he?
Yeah, they were sloppy. I mean, even the players after the game were like, that game was a little too loose. You know, we should have finished that one off. We should have played better. And they're going to need to play better. But overall, they've been pretty good here the last couple of weeks.
And appears to be back on track for the playoffs.
Well, they're going to be in. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
last couple of weeks. Well, 2 weeks ago, we were like, what?
No, right. Before they went on the winning streak. But they really helped themselves there by having the streak when they did. And look, playoffs are about being hot. So hopefully they can be hot when things start up because they're going to have a tough first round opponent for sure.
Okay. Go battle some more fans on Twitter. We'll talk soon.
I don't
want
to do that anymore.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Well, my good friend, my bestie, Jane Duker, posted this last night, and she's going to be on the roundtable tomorrow. I love when people get all angry because Jane is a Democrat. I mean, she's a Democrat, but she's crazy on some things. I'd say she's crazy on some things, but on these police issues, I don't think she is. And this was a video I saw last night. She sent this to me, and Channel 5 had done some work that's very, very interesting. And we're going to talk to Jane in a second, but KSDK's Christine Byers is with us this afternoon. I believe she's on the phone. Is she on the phone? Christine, are you there? Maybe not. Jane, is that you?
I'm here.
All right. Hang on.
Hi, Jane.
Hang on. Hi, Jane. How are you?
Hello.
She's saying hi. I think we might have to put you back on hold, though. Hold on, because I'm going to do this. Does Carl not know I'm doing this separately? We're going to do Christine real quick, and then we're going to have Jane on. Let's see if we can do this now. Christine, are you there?
I'm here. I dropped, but now I'm here.
It's my first day doing a talk show, apparently. I don't know if that was my fault or not. All right, this is really interesting to me, and you guys did a Freedom of Information Act, didn't you, on this, or was it another way to get this video? So explain what happened here. This was the I-Team at Channel 5, correct?
That's correct.
So this is on the heels of the mayor, Cori Bush, Kim Gardner, taking a tour of the workhouse. And describing
correct.
The workhouse as disgusting, utter filth. feces on the floors, roaches running rampant, all of these things that we were told. So you guys decided, well, let's see the video, correct?
Correct.
And what happened?
Well, we were provided about 7 hours worth of footage because, of course, you know, each clip had various amounts of time that the officials could be seen in them. And then there was, you know, some additional time. So because obviously their tour wasn't 7 hours long. So there was a lot to look through. But it really gave us an opportunity to finally see inside this institution that the previous administration said they spent millions of dollars on to improve. And this administration is saying it's still not good enough. So this really gave us the opportunity to finally see inside for ourselves without having to rely on anything that was provided to us.
So you had footage that was requested from the workhouse, which is the city's jail that, you know, Tashar Jones, the mayor, wants to shut down and others have wanted to shut down, but also the Justice Center, which is the other jail, right?
Correct.
Now, just as a point of clarification, did they tour both facilities that same day or was that not something that happened?
Correct. No, they toured both facilities on the same day.
In the workhouse situation in particular, did you see anything in those videos that resembled what they had described that they had seen?
We did not. I mean, certainly we, as a team, divided up, you know, so many hours of footage, and we kind of all got back together and compared our notes as to what we observed and what we saw. But admittedly, I mean, if there's roaches or bugs on the floor, we're not going to see that from surveillance cameras per se. So, you know, there's some things that they said they saw that we would be unable to see from the surveillance cameras. But when I asked the mayor's office for a response saying, you know, we didn't observe these things, but please direct us to any places where we may be missing. We're not looking. And we were told that a lot of those conditions happened and were observed in inmates' cells. And there are no cameras in those cells that we're able to access. And, you know, so that was what we were told.
Explain, because I have this story printed, but it cut off too. There was an email that you got from Matthew Mahaffey. Is that his name? Mahaffey or Mahaffey? He is the city's public defender. What was that about?
Correct. He had expressed some concerns about the circuit attorney going on this tour, given that it is her office that is prosecuting these inmates. So they expressed some concerns about her being there around their clients without them present. The footage that I reviewed, there were inmates that were calling her name and calling out for her specifically, and she was not going and interacting with them. And at one point, one of the guards told the inmates that were yelling that she cannot talk to you. So she was present, but she was not interacting with the inmates that at least that I saw.
Are you doing, I know the video is posted right now at KSDK.com, is that correct?
It is.
Yeah, and is there any other follow-up or anything else you think that people should know relating to this report? Before I get Jane's reaction, and I appreciate you coming on, Christine.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate the opportunity. One of the main things that we wanted to do was make all of the footage available to everyone because we didn't want to withhold any, you know, any of this information and say that we, you know, picked and chose what images we wanted out there and what we saw. So it's all out there. It's on our website that's available. But and coming up tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, I will be having an exclusive interview with a corrections employee that has a lot of thoughts to share on the issues going on within the downtown jail where many of the inmates from MSI or the workhouse are going to be headed very soon. Should the workhouse close July 1st? So I would encourage everyone to tune in to KSDK tomorrow night at 10 o'clock for that piece.
Well, look at that former print journalist turning into a TV star. I like that. All right, Christine, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, take care. She used to be at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch for many, many years. Now, I described this earlier. Jane's going to come on and talk about this from your perspective. But to me, the workhouse and the jail kind of looked like a high school cafeteria, pretty clean and pristine. Did you see something different?
Yeah, no, I watched a lot of the video, and I was expecting far worse. I mean, I've been to some of the state prisons when I worked for the state, and those conditions are a lot better than state prisons, a lot of them. So, you know, again, I guess they claimed that there might have been stuff that was happening in the cells that we couldn't see. You know, from what I could tell, it didn't look like that. And, you know, I know that the Cruz administration spent a ton of money trying to upgrade the facility. And I've heard from some of the officers that I work with, they say that, you know, a lot of the detainees, they would rather be in the workhouse than the CJC downtown, because there's just more space. There's more space at the workhouse. And so, I think I'm not sure that it portrayed the story they were giving.
If there's more to be seen, you know, look, is there a chance that they saw some things in the cells? Absolutely, there's the chance. But
then they should have taken pictures of them and released it.
Right. And I give KSDK and Christine some credit here for at least seeing if, you know, the video or the facts match up with the claims. That's something by the way, that local journalism should do.
Absolutely. And it was a very brilliant idea to think of getting the footage. I mean, that was really smart. And but my concern is closing the workhouse, I mean, from both perspectives. One, I hope they're not letting these people out or sending them to St. Louis County. Two, these people now are going to, the federal prisoners, they're going to be far away from St. Louis. Okay. And now all these people who committed crimes in the city, who are prosecuted by the feds, which, by the way, we need, because we don't have a lot of other prosecutions going on. And so now they used to have a contract with the city. And I don't know the status of the contract, but the city was making $8 million a year in revenue off of housing federal prisoners, and they reimburse very well. The state reimburses terribly. So now the federal prisoners are being moved out, and they're going to be, and KSDK also reported that the federal public defender is like, this is terrible, because one, they're going to be away from their families and their support systems. Two, I mean, how expensive it is for like the lawyers to get to them.
Yeah.
And so, they basically said this isn't for the people they claim to be helping. And so that's with regard to the federal prisoners. With regard to the state prisoners, if they're not going to county, they're going to be far away. So I guess what I don't understand is, who are they really helping?
Well, that would be a good question. Hey, did you see after the story on Channel 5, did you see that big front page story that the Post did as a follow-up to this?
Yeah. No.
No, because you won't, probably. We'll see.
Probably not. What was the follow-up?
They didn't do anything. They didn't do anything on this. Now, it was Channel 5 story, so maybe they'll do something tomorrow.
Right.
But you would think that's newsworthy. That what you sent me last night, and I may not have seen it, that's something that people should know about, this video.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't understand. So it just seems like we're slogan governing again. And what's the end game here? Who are we really helping here? Because why would you take these people? And I think the inmates' families are going to be very upset because they can't go see them as easily. So I guess I'm just not sure who they're helping and what principles they believe that they're vindicating.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about it tomorrow live at Sugar Fire in Wentzville. We're taking the Reardon Roundtable on the road. Jane, you will be there. Former Senator Lamping, Jeff Rainford on the panel. Andrew and Sue are going to join us out there. I think even Fred is coming out. How about that?
Oh, wow.
Don't tell Carl.
I don't
know if it's confirmed.
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, yep. Ladies and gentlemen?
Carl Stain, we decided we had to keep someone that we didn't like back here at the studio, and that was Carl. So
I think he's hurting. We got to, we may have to send him something.
No, it is going to be fun. I'm looking forward in. Jane, you mentioned this last Friday. So we used to, before the switch over here to the FM, and this was going back a couple years, well before the pandemic, we would do the roundtable live. A lot of times we do it at Ballpark Village. And one of the things that would happen over there before they closed off and sealed the door, what was the restaurant that we were in? What was it called? Do you remember?
I forget the name of the restaurant.
It's one of the ones that's right at the bottom. Anyway, there were two entrances to it where you would basically walk in. The one entrance, you could go up to the host table or the hostess table and say, I want a table, for three or four or whatever. The other entrance was right by where our radio booth was. So people would come. I've had headphones. Jane would be sitting there, headphones on, or Wheeler would be doing sports or something. And people would interrupt us and say, hey, how do we get a table? Can we get a table?
Right. We'd be on the air.
There's microphones in front of us.
How do we get in here? Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And by the way,
it was hilarious.
That was not an isolated thing. It happened every time that we did a show, and it wasn't just me, it was other hosts that were doing shows out there. So they finally closed that door off. They sealed it. But no, tomorrow's going to be fun. Well, I think Buff is going to come out too in the 4 o'clock hour. So I'm looking forward to it. We'll talk about this issue. Did you see the, John's going to have something to say on this, Jane, and this is a story I'll get to a little later, that there is this effort now to make sure that there are no multiracial adoptions so that a white family cannot adopt an African-American. Have you seen this story?
I've seen a little bit about it where they're trying to shut that down.
It's woke adoptions. Sarah Lapping has two children that he adopted. So
yes, I used to be on the Foster and Adoptive Care Coalition board. I was president of the board. And these kids in foster care, they need families. Mm. And if families want them, I don't know why you would ever stop a family from helping a kid get out of foster care.
I will tell you why. Because this group, Bethany Christian Services, has decided, as part of its long journey toward becoming an anti-racist organization, they believe that a child's race should be considered as part of the best interest determination for child placement. So if there is a loving white family that would like to take an African-American or someone else, into their family and help them out for the rest of their lives, that's not going to happen anymore, which is just,
I hope
this
not.
Is, this
I mean,
is one
I,
group.
You know,
I should make it clear. This is just one group, but still.
Absolutely. And I think that, there's a lot of people out there who want to give homes, whether they be temporary or permanent. And I can't imagine a world where we would ever turn down that kind of generosity. And I just can't imagine.
Well, it's a woke adoption world now, Jane Duker. We'll talk tomorrow, Sugar Fire in Wentzville, 3 o'clock. Don't be late, all right?
I won't be.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Have I told you guys how I found $3,000 this morning?
What?
Go
where?
On.
I'm very confused. Let me see if I can explain this, because I closed on a refi this morning, and I have this PNC account that I opened several years ago. I'm a U.S. Bank customer, but I opened a PNC account and had a small home equity loan with them that is getting paid off with the refi, right?
Okay.
So I don't go to this account very often. I really don't. The loan gets pulled out of there, and I'm bad at tracking things, apparently. So I remember a couple of weeks ago I called because I think the machine also ate my debit card.
Of course.
I had a debit card. So I went in there a couple of weeks ago and I deposited, because I make sure there's money in there for the
auto
loan,
deductions,
right?
Or whatever.
So that it's just been one of those things. If you transfer it online, it takes like 8 days or something ridiculous like that. So I've just been dropping the check in. And then I called the number. I was very confused about this. I called the number, I put my account number in, and it told me that I had $3,000 in the account. This was a few weeks ago. I'm like,
what?
There's no way I got three. What is that about? So I'd forgotten about that, and I thought that has to be a mistake. So today I always lose my passwords and everything, and it takes me forever. Maybe it's not the passwords, but sometimes, like for banking accounts, you use your social sometimes. But in this case, it wasn't. I'll just give you my social here.
I was
going to
say, what is happening?
Give me my password.
Wait a minute. You use that as your own personal password, or are you saying
no,
that's
not my
what
password.
They want?
No, like,
that's the checking to make sure it's you thing.
No, the login ID. When you put sue.thomas@odyssey.com,
yeah,
sometimes that's your login. So mine sometimes is my email address.
Uh-huh.
In this case, it wasn't my email address.
Gotcha.
It was just, I'm not going to give you what it was, but it was shorter than that. So I log in. Sure enough, I have $3,000+ in there. I'm thinking, well, how is that possible? I was very, very confused. So at this point, I'm thinking, well, this is, PNC's made a mistake, and I'm not going to tell them about it, right?
Yeah, I actually lost a PNC account with $3,000 in it just this morning.
So you have to tell them.
I start cross-referencing. No, I don't have to tell them, because I think I figured it out.
Oh, okay.
I think I figured it out, but this took a while. So then I start cross-referencing. I see that there was a $4,000 deposit early January in this account. I'm like, what in the world? What am I doing? Then I look at my U.S. bank account. Sure enough, and this should tell you something about just where I am right now with my whole life. I have no memory of most of this whatsoever. And you would think with money like that, I would. you'd be wrong. But it's going to make sense in a second, all right? So hang on. So I see on the U.S. bank account that, yes, in fact, I wrote a check to myself for $4,000 to deposit in my PNC account. Now, why did I do that?
Why did you do that?
This is what I think happened. I have a great accountant named John. I won't give his last name. John is, I think he's 103 now, if I'm not mistaken. He's not that old. And I hope he listens to, I hope he's listening right now because he's a hard worker. I'd love this guy. I've had him as an accountant for 15 years.
How are these not going to be the best people?
Listen to what happens. So when I pay him for my taxes every year, you know, when I send him the check for my, and remember last year was pushed because of COVID. And I think we might have done an I have no idea, but we did the taxes in the fall, not in the spring. So this was 6 months ago. So he sends me the bill. And I know that when one time he made fun of me because I went to U.S. Bank and I got a cashier's check and I sent it to him. He's like, what are you saying? I said, because if I send you a personal check, you're not going to cash the damn thing. And I'm going to look at this in my account and I don't want to do that because mentally, you know, you think you have more money.
So
and
there it's about you rather than him.
Well, there are people out there.
But I feel the same way.
You find this and maybe I'm even one of those people. When I get a check, though, I'm like, that's in my account,
same
right?
Here.
I'm depositing
Plus,
that check.
You can do it now by taking a picture
exactly.
of it. Exactly. You know?
And I do all the mobile deposits that way. But what I think happened, and this has not been confirmed, I'm kind of hoping he comes back to me and says, yeah, no, we're flush. Everything's cool. I think I wrote the check from that account, from the PNC account, because I didn't know he wasn't going to cash it, but I knew that it was probably going to take 4 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever, for his firm to cash the check. And I never looked at the account again. So I know I sent the check. He might not have gotten it. I'm not sure exactly what happened.
How much do you pay to get your taxes done?
I mean,
that's where I'm getting really confused.
I think some of that is obvious right now if you kind of look at it. But
Good Lord.
I've got complicated tax structures.
Sounds like you pay.
Apparently.
Sue, there's foreign accounts and there's all kinds of things.
Sounds like you pay $0 to get your taxes.
No. Well, that's true. Andrew's got a good point. Maybe I didn't pay anything last year. That was the best bargain I had.
Yeah, well,
but it
go.
Was a very confusing day because of that. Because at first I got all excited. I'm like, hell yeah, I got $3,000 that I didn't know about. That's a fair amount of money. But I think it was just that the accountant did not cash the check. And hopefully he didn't remember that he didn't cash the check. And he's like, yeah, we're good. No, I think I'm going to convince him.
No wonder you were giving him cashier's check. It's all becoming clear.
It does become clear because obviously there's no – this does – you guys have probably had this happen, though, with people where in – and I understand it, maybe businesses too – where you look at your account and then you think, because we're all online, right? You think, oh, man, that's what I have. Because has anyone, here's a question, this might be controversial. Has anyone balanced their account or checkbook in 2 decades?
Nobody
I've never done it.
Right?
I don't have
it. I never did it when you were supposed to do it. That was part of my problem with finances.
Oh,
But in this case,
I used to be all over it. Then I
look at my account. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's been drawn out. That withdrawal is coming up. I pay my bills, all that. That check is cleared. And sometimes you forget that a check hasn't cleared. And then, you know, significant, all of a sudden it's like a $800 check and it clears.
Wait a minute.
Month and a half later.
I had a landlord years ago that I had to stop writing. He wanted them the rent and checks, and I had to stop writing him checks because he would wait until I had like 4 months of rent checks to him and then cash them all at once. And suddenly, you know, $2,400 or whatever is sucked out of my account at age 22.
I've got to keep track of all that. I mean, I don't have it balanced down to the penny, but I keep track. That would make me nuts.
I'm going to tell my accountant, though. I'm going to tell John that the next time, if I pay him again, I'm going to write a little note. Void after 10 days. See if that catches his attention. 354, 97.1 FM Talk. Oh, George Gray from The Price is Right in the next hour. We're going to play a little bit of a spin on that. The Price is Wrong. I think it's going to be fun. Coming up 425.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.